Today's reading is from Exodus 12 and 13, and you can find it on page 70. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Any slave you've bought may eat of it after you have circumcised him. But a temporary resident and a hired worker may not eat of it. It must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you." All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, 'I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So how do you keep, how do you remember dates and appointments? Now, today we have all sorts of things to help us, don't we? You can set a reminder on your phone. I bet you all do that, don't you? Or you can use a diary or an organiser. That used to be very fashionable, didn't it? Or just write it straight onto your calendar. Very practical. And some people, they just write stuff on their hands, don't they? Very desperate, I think. How do you remember really important dates? So we are good at remembering some things, aren't we? Because the 11th of November is our Remembrance Day, and we rightly set aside time to remember those who've made great sacrifices for others, And then we've got Christmas and Easter, when we remember particular events in the Christian calendar. Now, in this passage in Exodus, God sets out his way for the Israelites to remember one of the most important dates in their calendar, in their history. And he sets it out in some detail, how and what they are to remember. Who we are to remember what the Lord has done for us. So in the tradition of my sermons, three headings for you. How to remember, what to remember, and who to remember. How to remember. Chapter 12, and you might want to keep your Bibles open. Chapter 12, verses 31 to 50. The Lord sets out the regulations for the observance of the Passover meal. And verse 43, it says, God says to Moses, get together the highest ranking people of Israel to come up with a plan to observe the Passover. It must be wholly inclusive and diverse as possible. There must be as many options on the menu as possible. Vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, and extra portions for people like Shane Trinder. Or maybe that's what should have said. But it doesn't, does it? What does it actually say? The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, these are the regulations for the Passover meal. No foreigner may eat it. It's a bit rough, isn't it? It's a bit tough on foreigners. And it goes on, verses 44, 45. Any slave you have brought may eat it after they have been circumcised. But a temporary resident or a hired worker may not eat it. It's not really very inclusive, is it? As to where you've got to eat it, verse 46, it must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. So there's no sitting out on your patio here. And you can't order it by phone. That's a bit old hat now. You can't order it by app, whatever that is. It's a bit restrictive and narrow, isn't it? So what's going on? Verse 47. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. Now that's a bit more positive, isn't it? It's a community thing and it's a celebration. You have to be part of the community in order to celebrate it. If you're not part of the Israelites, why would you want to celebrate it anyway? God calls his people to celebrate something amazing that he has done for them. But if you really want to celebrate it, you have to join the community. Verse 48, a foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat it. The same law applies both to the native born and to the foreigner residing among you. So is that inclusive or exclusive? God allows, and indeed he wants people to join his family. But there is a commitment attached. In this case, circumcision. You have to have the family mark in order to be part of the family. You can't just assign yourself to be an Israelite. You have to join on God's terms. Once part of the family, you're welcome to join in the celebration and remember what God has done for you. And the remembrance doesn't stop there. In verse 6 it says, for 7 days eat bread made without yeast, and on the 7th day hold a festival to the Lord. Now, I love all things bready. And I know there's no such word as bready because my computer kept trying to autocorrect it. If it's bread related, I probably love it. Why do we have yeast in bread? To quote, it increases the volume and improves the flavour, texture, grain, colour and eating quality, unquote. In other words, it makes it more yummy. Why leave it out then? Because it makes the bread faster to prepare and easier to transport as the Israelites hurried out of Egypt. It was a practical consideration when the Israelites had to leave Egypt in a hurry. So if you don't like your flatbreads, that's tough. And yep, I like my flatbreads too. Verse 7, eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. Get rid of all that yeast. It's a bit yeastophobic, I know, but it's all part of the festival. It's a way to remember something of great significance in their history. God wanted them to remember these important events in a particular way. Well, what were they remembering? What to remember? Now, when you get a bit older, people start pulling your leg about what you remember. You see, I remember the Apollo moon landings, first colour TV, first calculators in schools, life before the internet. Yes, there was life before the internet, to mention but a few. Now, I know some of our dear older folk will be laughing at that list and think of a whole longer list of things they can remember. Alison, when she was teaching in 1982, the Tudor ship Mary Rose was being raised from the seabed, and she got asked by one of her pupils whether she remembered when the Mary Rose sank. Now, if you don't know, it sank in 1545, so it was a little before Alison's time. What is it that the Israelites were remembering? Well, we use the emblem of a poppy, don't we, to remember our war dead, because the fields of the First World War had poppies in them, and the French used the blue cornflower for the same reason. God uses some items from the flight of the Israelites on the last night in Egypt. The Passover meal was their last meal, and the bread they made was yeast-free. The Passover used the sign of the blood from a slaughtered lamb on the doorposts so that the angel of death did not kill any of the Israelite firstborn. Only those without the sign of the blood had their firstborn taken. Those who followed God's instructions were saved from his judgment. They used the exact same meal to remember that they were saved from death by the blood of the lamb, as God had instructed them. Their salvation relied on God's instructions, and they followed the same instructions each year as a remembrance. It was probably the most significant celebration that they had. The bread without yeast, the unleavened bread, shows that they were saved from sin. Often, yeast represents sin in the Bible. The yeast made the bread better looking and better to eat, and in the same way that sin can sometimes make life better looking and maybe better to stomach. Putting yeast in the bread slows the process down. If the Israelites had put yeast in the bread on that night, they would probably have never got out of Egypt. Pharaoh later changed his mind about letting them go and decided to try and stop them. If they'd used yeast, he would have caught them. The Israelites decided to do it God's way, without yeast, without sin, so they were saved from slavery. Again, another annual festival to remember what God had done for them. Another tool for remembrance was to be started once they were living in the promised land. Verses 11 to 13. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the first males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. Having taken all the firstborn of the Egyptians, God now takes all the firstborn of the Israelites, but this time he allows swaps. As the donkey was a much valued pack animal, the Lord allowed them to swap a lamb or a goat instead, but they had to sacrifice the firstborn lamb or goat. They had to sacrifice a lamb for their firstborn son. They were not allowed to do human sacrifices as some of the other ancient tribes had done. The sons were saved from death by the blood of a lamb. Note, if you didn't want to or couldn't redeem the firstborn donkey, then that had to be sacrificed. There was a sacrifice in order to remember the night of the Passover. Something dies to allow something to live. A swap was made to redeem and save something. This was done whenever the firstborn of the flock or son appeared. It was an ongoing memorial year in and year out. Rescuing a whole tribe of people from slavery in Egypt was a big thing. God wanted them to remember it and remember it correctly. That's why he gave them specific instructions. God knew that the Israelites would easily forget what he had done for them. So he put in place ways for them to remember what he had done. In verse 16, "And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." So a sign on your hand. So maybe the people who scribble on their hands aren't so far from the mark after all. So it was such a significant part of their lives that God wants them to remember forever. The sign on the person's hand to remember because it's for them to remember because they can see it. The sign on the forehead, you can't see your own forehead, was for other people to remember. Unless you got a mirror, which I guess many of the Israelites didn't have. But it was a continuance to remember of what the Lord had done for them. Who to remember? Question. Somebody may know the answer to this question. In the 20th century, how many people died of smallpox? Any ideas? An estimated 300 million people died of smallpox in the 20th century. That's a staggering number. And I looked it up carefully because I didn't believe it the first time I read it. The last person to die of smallpox was in 1978 in Birmingham. It was a truly terrible disease. It killed 30%, a third of the people who got infected. How many people do you know who've either had smallpox or died from it? Nobody. Nobody. Now, who is credited, I know some of you will know this answer, with discovering the smallpox vaccine? Jenner. Edward Jenner, the father of modern vaccines. And it's estimated that his discovery has saved at least 530 million lives. So he's probably been responsible for saving more lives than anyone else on earth. Do we have an Edward Jenner Day?
No.
No, we don't. University of St. George's in London does, because that's where Jenner trained. So we remember all sorts of people for all sorts of important things, and that's appropriate. God wanted the Israelites to remember for generations what he had done for them. Chapter 12, verse 14. "With a mighty hand, the Lord rescued his people from Egypt." We, however, are not Israelites. And I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm guessing some of us may have been to Egypt, but I'm guessing you were there not as slaves. Most of us probably haven't been to Egypt. And we're not slaves. So why do we need to remember what God has done for us if we're not slaves? The Bible tells us in the second letter of Peter, "For people are slaves to anything that controls them." People are slaves to anything that controls them. You don't have to be in Egypt. You don't have to be owned by someone to be a slave. Whatever controls you enslaves you. If you are a slave to sin, then you're in real trouble, because slavery to sin leads to death, and that death to hell. It's not a popular idea, I know, but it's in the Bible. Sin leads to death and death to hell. But let's look at some good news. If you'd like to look in your Bibles, what's the supposed to be the best known verse in the Bible? John chapter 3, verse 16. You might want to look it up. I'll tell you what page it is. I've memorized the number. Page 1066. I wonder how I remembered that. But you can look it up, because I don't want to look at verse 16. I want to look at verse 17. And verse 17 says this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Moses was sent by God on a rescue mission to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land. God sent his Son on a rescue mission to save the world from the slavery of sin and the curse of death and the fear of hell, and take them to eternal life with God the Father. No more do you have to be enslaved to sin, fear death or hell. Jesus was sent to give us a new life and a new future. How do we remember what he has done for us? In chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel, it says, Jesus at the Last Supper, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We follow his instructions to break bread and share wine to remember what he has done for us. Sacrificing lambs is no longer necessary. The Passover meal and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread are no longer necessary. We are now part of a new covenant sealed by his blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. In Peter's first letter, he wrote, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Let us never forget what the Lord has done for us. He himself was our lamb without blemish or defect. He died so that we might live." Jesus, our Saviour, has shown us how we should remember this. This is a lasting remembrance until the Lord returns. In the first book of Corinthians, it says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If you trust in the Lord Jesus, then you have been saved from the terror of sin, death, and hell. You are his people, his children of the new promise. You are free to be with your God, to talk with him and walk with him. This is what you are to remember. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. Amen.